Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Avs Lightning game 4 tonight. Discover Card Key matchup. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation. Discover matches all the cash back you earn into your first year automatically. Discover.com/match. Dan Wojcik, LA Times, been covering the NBA for a decade. He does great stuff. Clippers totally tied in. It's great to have him in studios. Back-to-back studio appearances.
Yes, it's when no Lakers, no Clippers in the playoffs, I've been in town.
And you just mostly been hanging out. Now, let me just say this, because you're very well tied into this league, I didn't think the Warriors could bridge the gap between Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody too young, mm-hmm. and Steph, Draymond a little too old, and Draymond. They bridged it. They were great. And now I look at Phoenix, and I think, God, they're a mile away.
Yeah.
Are you surprised at all, or is this just, like the New England Patriots, just a little smarter with a selfless star? And this is what, you know, Brady and Steph, they're not that Steph's taken a lot less, but you have this sort of selfless star, and you're not going to beat him if Steph's available to play.
Which gives you, like, the cultural advantages.
Yes.
I think they're an outlier, ultimately. I think one of the hardest things to do in all of sport, right, is to have multiple goals. And that normally you want to have a direction as an organization, and you want it to be clear, and you want everybody to know exactly where you're going, exactly how you're getting there. I think for the last 2 years, in talking to people, you look at Steph Curry, you look at Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and you know, starters that are late prime, you know, mid to late prime. I think I expected them to, like, go try to get Bradley Beal. You know, like, they had the pieces.
Right.
You know, they can make that kind of a trade as good as anybody in the NBA. They had the Andrew Wiggins contract. You mentioned it. James Wiseman, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. They have young players. They have first-round picks. They have their first-round picks in the future. They could kind of put that package together. And I kind of always expected them to simplify their plan. But they were able to kind of execute this two-timeline thing.
It's crazy.
And it does speak ultimately to how good, you know, Wiggins deal in hindsight is just wonderful. And good on ownership there for taking the luxury bill hit, you know, and paying to keep players and stuff like that, because they're essentially able to have two rosters. They didn't need Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, or James Wiseman to beat the Boston Celtics, but, like, those guys are going to be better.
Oh, next year, Kuminga's going to get like, big minutes.
Kuminga, Moody, who knows on Wiseman? Like, that is a total wild card. Like, they have three guys that could be in their rotation in the next one or two seasons, like, significantly in their rotation. And this is, you know, you don't want to put this on Kuminga, but it's not wildly dissimilar to how the Spurs slowly integrated Kawhi Leonard and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of – and how you're able to bridge between –
Too old, too young.
That middle sort of tier. And I think most teams in the league struggle with that. We saw the Lakers in LeBron James' first year really struggle with that, that you had young guys, older guys, couldn't come together, and there wasn't the patience to kind of meld that out.
That's the key.
And I think with Golden State, they kind of went through, like, you know, they went through hell for 2 years, came out on the other side of it stronger, and with a bunch of new guys that they could trust, like Jordan Poole and – it's funny when you look back on the season, I don't know why I was surprised.
Yeah.
With the power of hindsight, I'm like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it is, I have Laker friends in town. So LA is a Clipper, Laker, or Warrior town. There's a lot of San Francisco transplants down here. So, and I tell the Lakers is great, creates clarity. Look at the Warriors. Do the Lakers have as rich an owner, as good a GM, as good a coach, as good a bench, as good a young players, as many draft picks, as good as stars? No. They have LeBron. Mm-hmm. Who's still great when he can, if you can get him to 60, 65 games a year. So, and I look at LeBron, and I've always said there's three stages for great players. There's a show-off stage. There is the, I'm great, Anthony Edwards in that. I'll be a little selfish, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to chase guys down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have thunderous dunks. Then there's the, okay, I'm going to win some titles and validate my greatness. And then there is the, at the end, the mogul stage. Michael goes to the Wizards. LeBron goes to L.A. You'd like to win there. But I do look at LeBron, and I'm like, he's really smart. He's got smart representation, clutch sports. They don't have anything the Warriors have. They don't have reliable players. And I think, wouldn't LeBron initiate this upstairs and just say, take a big swing on something?
I think, you know, and as we transition talking maybe about Kyrie or something like that, I think. What's interesting about LeBron is – You know, you do get the sense that he wants to sort of age into a more, I'm comfortable with whatever's around me.
Yeah.
I can go, you know, executive produce hustle, and I can go to those premieres and like do my Spring Hill stuff, and I can be good with that. He told us at the start of last season, he's like, I'm going to be patient. You know, like, I promise. Like, it was like he made a vow to us that I will be patient with this process. I know that we're going to take lumps, you know, with Russell and with AD and kind of getting everybody together. I don't think he handled that very patiently. I think he tried, and I think he found that, no, that is not for him.
Well, like, he's still burned.
That the level he was playing at, and then it wasn't resulting in wins, and then it wasn't resulting in contention, I think burned. So yeah, I think there is a, and this is what's so interesting about the Lakers and sort of their kind of current real estate in the NBA is that you look at the most important player on the team is LeBron, right? He's getting ready to enter his 20th season, you know, like late career. So it is like, you don't want to be making decisions, generally speaking, on people that are going to be gone moderately soon, right? Like whether it's two seasons, three seasons, whatever. That being said, he's the most win now player at the most win now time in his career. It's never been more about right now,
right?
Because you have a guy so late. So yeah, I mean, when it comes to a guy like Kyrie Irving, there's tremendous risk, obviously. But to me, of the options,
so you're on board with my AD for Kyrie. I mean, there could be other parts.
I still think that the cleanest way to do this is you package your two first round picks with Russell Westbrook, and you work some sort of three team deal. I think that is the cleanest way to do it.
For the Lakers.
Yes, and I think that you move forwards with a Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving sort of trio, and that all makes basketball sense in as clean a way as any big three, right? Like, I mean, guard, wing, big. Like, it's not, you know, where LeBron and Dwayne Wade had to kind of learn how to play off of each other, where, you know, James Harden and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant all kind of do very similar things. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that should be the goal. You know, to me, that's the cleanest way. I think the best version of the Lakers, Colin, still involves Anthony Davis at 70 games being in the top five of MVP voting. Like, that's what has to happen. And I think Even with, you know, LeBron in age, you know, in season 20 alongside Kyrie Irving, I don't think that's a good enough core, to be totally honest. I think you still need AD.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I could get Westbrook out the door and give up picks, I've never thought picks matter for the Yankees or the Lakers. There are brands that have glamour advantages, coastal advantages, financial advantages, or, I mean, listen, the Lakers have had a history of just guys want
to
play there.
To devil's advocate that argument, though, the tricky part with the 27 and 29 picks is that it's not so much that there's like a 10-year-old out there right now that you're like, this is going to be our guy.
Right.
It's that... the next time that there is a disgruntled star that wants to come to LA, whoever that very well may be, let's say Luka Doncic wants to play in LA. It's going to cost picks to get him. Like, you're going to have a package, and you want to be ready and you want to be nimble enough to kind of pivot to that in 2026 or something like that, or whenever that may be. And I think that's the issue, is as the Lakers have, you know, kind of dug all in at first with Anthony Davis and now sort of with Russell Westbrook, how much digging out of that hole, like, you got to make sure you get all the way out, because if you're still kind of stuck in it, it's going to have reverberations, you know, for 6-7 years of basketball. And now it's not just the end of LeBron's prime, it's Anthony Davis's prime too.
You know, the we were saying there, it's hard in sports to tell great from very good, very good from good. You know, Jason Tatum's the example I use. He's something. He's good plus or very good or superstar minus, but he's in that space. You know, I look at Boston going forward, and nobody outside of Boston maybe cares about the Celtics, but if you look at Giannis and Middleton and that organization, they're going to just keep getting better, I think.
I
really do. Is that it's the kind of the age old question. If do you break up very good? The Celtics are very good. They don't get through Milwaukee with Middleton. Miami lands Bradley Beal with that culture and coaching. Good luck. They took him 7 without a pure score outside of Jimmy Butler. Boston's fascinating because they're very good. Their Sacramento Kings were very good for a long time. The Utah Jazz were very good for a decade. Very good doesn't win titles. I do not think the Celtics have an elite ball handler. I don't think they have the confidence of a champion. I don't trust Robert Williams' knee.
Yeah.
They don't have an initiator of offense like a Kemba whose knees went south. Like, we have a history that very good does not win championships.
So I think that if you're Boston, what you're trying to figure out, and so I was in Boston for game 6 and, you know, left that game being like, man, they needed more from Jason Tatum, right? but to me, what I was watching was a very tired player. That's what I saw.
He played a lot of games.
Was a guy who was just worn out and was like, you know, to your point as to like, where is he sort of on his career arc? I think the best case scenario is you look back on this sort of like you look back at LeBron James's first finals, which were rocky with Cleveland. Like, if you look at the stats, they are not good. I think you saw a player learning the mental physical toll of carrying a team. You know, is like, if you are going to be the guy in these, you know, playoff minutes, you talk to NBA players, they'll tell you playoff minutes count like double or triple.
No question.
Like the amount of like locked in you have to be, if you're in a defensive stance, you can't pick up, you've got to stay low. Like you can't blink. And that requires a lot. It requires even more of your best players. And I think we saw a toll of that kind of cumulatively over the course of the playoffs with Jason Tatum. So is this, if this was the experience where he learns what it's going to take to be a superstar, great. You know, like, they will learn from this. They're young. They've got two-way guys everywhere you look. You watch them play in the playoffs, you're like, man, offensive, defensive players. Are they perfect? By no stretch. You know, like, they don't have a initiate the offense traditional point guard.
Yeah.
But they've got guys like Jaylen Brown. They've got guys like, you would think the turnovers were what they were, but Jason Tatum's playmaking, I think, has been improving kind of as he's gotten more mature in the league. They've got guys. And so, to me, I think the safer bet, and most of these organizations are risk adverse, the safer bet is just to kind of hope that these young players will continue to get better, because that's generally what happens. And this group has been through a ton already, and I think they'll come out of this stronger.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The team I really overvalued, as Joey knows, is the Clippers. I like a lot of their pieces. Mm-hmm. Kawhi, Paul George, Terrence Mann. Reggie Jackson sometimes thinks he's like the baseball Reggie Jackson.
Love it.
He thinks he's better than probably is, but that's
People send him baseballs to get autographed by.
Do they?
It's a true story. Yeah.
Well, he plays with so much confidence. I'm like, dude, if you could give Jason Tatum like a little bit of that. But there's a lot of things I like about that. And I really do believe they could go into the Kyrie sweepstakes because he's so poor defensively. They have rim support and wing support. But my dark horse is not Dallas. I think they're Christian Wood's a poor defender. Luka's a poor defender. Jalen Brunson's small. I think the Clippers, between Ballmer's passion, Kawhi now really an entire year and a half.
He's like a red shirt.
I thought Paul George was for a month last year.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. Top two player in the league for about a month. Terrence Mann, I think Reggie Jackson. What is your projection for the Clippers going forward? Do you, Dan, project a big move? They stay pat. What do you project?
Obviously, I think when a player is as good as Kyrie Irving, if that player is on the market, if that player expresses some interest in coming to your team, it's on you to do a little diligence,
sure,
right? Like he is good enough for you to sort of assess the situation. Whereas I think for the Lakers, it makes total sense, or the Knicks, to take on that risk. It makes tremendous sense because those teams aren't on the doorstep.
And they need a scorer. They need a shooter.
They need a player like that. Like, I don't know that the Clippers do. Actually, I'm pretty sure they don't,
right,
to be totally honest. I think, you know, I look at that team and I see there may be some need for an upgrade at point guard.
That's what I think.
Is that guy Malcolm Brogdon?
I don't like when they initiate offense with Kawhi. It's unnatural.
It is a little unnatural, and they end up putting a lot on Paul George as a playmaker. So I think addressing that somehow would be important, but I look at an organization that, to your point, right, like we were talking about the Warriors, you've got an owner who's willing to spend. You have a top-tier head coach in Tyronn Lue, and you have talent. It's just a matter of seeing it, right? Like on the court, a lot of it is imaginary at this point. We've only barely seen the Clippers. We saw them for a blink, it feels like, against the Utah Jazz.
Right.
You know, in the playoffs, which feels like an eternity ago.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a lot of this is just projection. And I think when I talk to my sources with the Clippers, like, I mean, they feel really good about where they're at.
They've got depth.
They've got chemistry. They've got an identity. We started with this, like, knowing who you are. Like, they know who they are. And I don't think that they need to disrupt that. I think what they need to do is augment it. And I think so, maybe a little bit more conservative. They do have the pieces, though. If come the deadline, they need to do something drastic. They're set up to make a move. They've got the right contracts. They've got the right kind of role players and contributors that you could piece together any number of them, and you could be competitive in a lot of trade talks.
Okay, we're going to play the game short sentence. I'll ask you a question, and you give me a short sentence as a writer.
It's one of my wife's favorite games with me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She likes this one.
All right.
I usually lose.
Start season, is Russell Westbrook a Laker?
No.
Oh, that's delicious. Start of the season, is Kyrie Irving a Net?
No.
Well, timeout. We're going to play a new game. Host gets to deliberate on answers from writer. Let's go back to Westbrook. What happens?
I think he gets moved with those picks somewhere. And
two picks in Russell for something.
Something, whether it is role players, whether it is for Kyrie. I think that there is too much incentive to try and do that now. But I don't feel great about it.
All right.
Who knows? They're the most who knows team, Colin. Like, the Lakers are in such a weird position.
It's very hard for me. LeBron would have led the league in scoring had he played two more games.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a stat. It's jumbled up. It was like he led the NBA in 2-point attempt field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. He is still a remarkable player. And unlike other old guys in year 19, maybe Kareem's the exception, he can still defend.
Adding to his game, too, like the step back three-pointer and stuff like that, for sure.
Like LeBron is just too good. It'd be one thing if he was holding on. It's like Brady at this point is still an MVP candidate.
If you have Tom Brady, you got to play around him to win, for sure.
And so to me, like, this idea that LeBron's going to be like, I don't know. I watched LeBron. He breaks down even the best defenders in the league and gets to the basket. In a non-hand check league, I'm not sure there's a guy in the league, including the Jason Tatums and Kawhis, that can stay in front of him. So, like, LeBron's sitting there, he can, I think I would map out 66 games. I'd say, I want you to play 66, no back-to-backs.
That's the thing, right? I think that's the thing, right, is he needs to embrace load management in a way that he's never embraced it. But I think ultimately, and this is true for the Lakers today, it was true, honestly, for them 3 years ago. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are both healthy and are both productive, they're going to be really good. Like those guys are really, really good. Like top seven players, like really good. And what around them now is kind of, is it enough to put the thumb on the scale? And that's, I think, you know, the Westbrook situation, we've seen that, I think, enough that what Russell does well doesn't add to what LeBron and AD do. So moving him for guys that do and sacrificing 27, 29 would be worth it, But getting healthy LeBron and healthy Anthony Davis, especially after the last 2 years, is a risk and it's a gamble. And when you start trading picks that are 5-7 years out, like that's a gamble.
So here's my, you know, so Joy is not a believer in picks. She's like, don't hoard picks. I like NFL picks, but I'll say this about NBA picks. This is a great example. Chet Holmgren for Gonzaga.
Yeah.
He's 4 years away. If he works, he's 4 years away from being an all-star. That's Ingram. That's Giannis. Mm-hmm. That's what you young guys are. They're 4 years because they come out at 19
he's
years
19.
Old.
Yeah.
So it's not a 27 pick. He won't hit till 2031 if he's a hit. That is a century in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 10 new industries. So to me, in the NBA with the Lakers, it's not giving away a 27 pick. It's giving away a 2031 productive NBA All-Star potentially.
But had, I mean, we can look to recent history at the Lakers, but had the Lakers looked at late career Kobe Bryant and said, we want to augment you with LaMarcus Aldridge, with you know, kind of, and don't mean to catch strays for LaMarcus Aldridge, like kind of all NBA third team type players, yes. Right? Like those kinds of guys, and they had forfeited future draft picks for it, they wouldn't have had the ammunition to get Anthony Davis. Because that's Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. Like those are all, and so to me, that's the tricky part. Back to this Warriors thing is like, are the Lakers thinking about the next 5 months or are they thinking about the next 5 years? And that's a really, really hard decision to make, not only in this town, just in general, but when you have maybe the greatest player ever and he's late in his career.
You could just go to LeBron.
It's hard.
You could go to LeBron and say, we're going to move Westbrook at the All-Star break, stomach it, then we'll have salary. You could do that as well and not have to give up picks. Okay, do I go to a break or do you guys... Let me take a break here, and Herdline News is next. Dan Wojcicki, LA Times, great stuff. Commercial time, it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor. Get it at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores. Swift hair removal, 6 blades, stainless steel. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
This NBA offseason is already getting interesting.
Well, I mean, he's not hyperbolic on this stuff. He thinks Westbrook's gone, which it just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
And the Kyrie thing, I don't think they need more scoring. I think they need size and defense. So it's, and there's a lot of players out there, a lot of Malcolm Brogdon's, like, you know he would make a team better. There's a lot of guys in this league, when you watch the role players join the finals, and you're like, yeah, you got to have role players. Like, they're really, really important.
The bench was, you could argue, was the difference. The bench and the turnovers the for bench scoring the Celtics.
Bench. In the last two games in the finals was all Warriors.
Yes. So Kyrie Irving has 1 year left on his contract and can opt out. It's been reported that he and the Nets are at an impasse over his contract extension. And the Lakers appear to be one of the big suitors for Kyrie if he were asked to be traded in the coming weeks. Yeah. According to Brian Windhorst of ESPN, the Nets would only send Kyrie to LA if they got Anthony Davis in return, which makes sense. Why wouldn't you want Anthony Davis? You'd have to give them something. However, Windhorst said that he doesn't see this happening for the Lakers this offseason. New Lakers head coach Darvin Ham said he sees AD as being the key to the Lakers' success next season. And it would certainly be a downgrade for them on the defensive end to swap for Kyrie.
If you could give up Westbrook and two firsts for Kyrie, it's hard to say no to that.
I don't know why the Nets would do that. Why would the Nets do that?
Well, because they're just going to eat the Westbrook deal, get rid of him at the trade deadline, and add another piece. Because Westbrook doesn't give them what they want either. What they need is size.
Kyrie fits basketball wise, like, yeah, LeBron, AD, and Kyrie
are interesting.
I think it works.
It's an elite team if they're healthy.
Yes, there's enough defense in other places. LeBron will still play defense when he needs to. Anthony Davis is obviously an elite defensive player. But when we talk about AD and Kyrie for different reasons, well, some overlap with the health factor, but you speak about them in the abstracts. Like, we were assuming they're going to be available in there. You have to consider that. Like, you just have to consider Anthony Davis probably won't be healthy.
Right.
And Kyrie at some point will decide he doesn't want to play basketball.
I know. It's crazy.
Like, there's too much evidence at this point. If you ignore that, just going off of what you saw from Kyrie this year, which was spectacular, but it was 29 games. He had plenty of rest. He only He didn't play in most of the season by choice.
Yeah,
and the by choice part is what's important because it's not like he's coming off of an injury.
Yeah, KD and LeBron at the end of their careers are now surrounded by guys who have marginal interest in the sport and are never there. Simmons, Kyrie, Anthony Davis. It's just like, as passionate as LeBron and KD have been, what they should never be surrounded by is guys who like basketball or are sometimes available. Like that, that's what, like Brady went to Tampa and Brady knew it's a young team. Young players get hurt less. Like those guys, Chris Godwin got banged up, but like Brady knew I'm aging. This is a young football team. Young teams stay healthier.
I feel like AD and Kyrie both rely on their talent. They rely on their talent.
Yeah.
They're not completely dedicated to the sport,
yeah,
which everyone else doesn't have to be. That's not a requirement. But I agree with you. When you're in a situation like LeBron James, which is absolutely win now, and Kevin Durant, who we want to see be able to be at the top of the NBA for a long time still, it's frustrating. So the Hornets have narrowed down their search to two candidates. They offered the job to Kenny Atkinson, who turned it down, and now they've turned their attention to Mike D'Antoni.
Always up for a job.
Well, yes. Now, I mean, he's been coaching for 16 years as a head coach. Overall record of 672-527, so 56% winning percentage. His last coaching position was with the Rockets,
yeah,
and he was assistant coach with the Nets in 2021, and obviously known for getting the most out of Steve Nash in Phoenix and James Harden in Houston. But he's never won an NBA title, though he's had 10 total playoff appearances and three conference finals berths. But if you're going to not get Kenny Atkinson, this does kind of make sense. You have LaMelo Ball there. It's a young team. He is capable of getting the most out of your offense. Now, they're not going to play any defense, but, you know, that is D'Antoni's style, to play that fast three-point shooting, you know, high volume offense type of play. And look, they got turned down by Atkinson. So obviously, the negotiations didn't go well. So I don't hate D'Antoni for this situation. I don't want to see LaMelo Ball's future gets squandered in any way, but I don't know that he would hurt the development of LaMelo in this situation. So the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett with the 20th overall pick, and Chase Claypool, on top of saying that he is a top three wide receiver in the league, also gave his opinion of their rookie quarterback on the I Am Athlete podcast.
He looks good. He's mobile. He's fat. He's faster than people think. So that's going to be new for us. And, I think it's going to create plays. You see, like, so many of Jamar's plays and T's plays are from Joe leaving the pocket and making plays happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're young, we're versatile, we're dynamic. So he's going to add to that.
He's talking about Joe Burrow. LeSean McCoy also said he didn't see a difference between Joe Burrow and Kenny Pickett.
Oh, boy, that's not true. Yeah, that's just not.
I love it.
It's not true.
Is LeSean over there?
Yeah. That
I love it. Keep speaking that into existence, LeSean. Love that. Joe Burrow and Kenny Pickett, the same.
I got my doubts on that.
I will say this about Kenny Pickett.
They're both athletic. They both move pretty well.
Here's what gives me optimism about Kenny Pickett. The Steelers drafted him. What does that mean? No team in the league knows more about Kenny Pickett than the Steelers. So if they were willing to make that move this year, because they didn't have to, they had Mitchell Trubisky, who's a perfectly capable bridge quarterback, then they must see the potential in him to be able to compete at a high level in this league. That's what I believe. If another team had taken Kenny Pickett other than the Steelers, I don't know that I would be so optimistic about him. He played for Pitt. He played in that building. No one knows more about him than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I like Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know who's going to win the starting job. I would go with Pickett if it's even, just because he's younger and I'd rather him get reps. But this division is going to be very interesting this year. I don't think the Browns are going to be competitive at all. I'm with you. I think the Deshaun Watson situation has completely eliminated them from any type of contention. I think the Ravens are going to be a big problem. Everyone forgot about the Ravens last year because they had so many injuries. They're going to be back healthy. There's no telling if Lamar Jackson's going to have his deal done, so he's going to be playing with something to prove. And the Bengals are coming back improved off of a Super Bowl loss. So Steelers are always competitive. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. They have a great defense. I think it could be something there. Very optimistic about the Steelers this year. Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett, the same.
Well, I think I'm not as optimistic. I've really fallen into this thing is outside of Sean McDermott, I don't trust these defensive head coach teams. I just don't. I really, it's not that, and I love Mike Vrabel, but I'm taking Frank Reich and Matt Ryan this year to win the division. I don't know.
I mean, well, we were wrong about the Titans taking a step back. Were we wrong? Because they got smoked. So were we wrong about the Titans?
No, they were number one seed, so I was wrong. But I will say,
I feel like we get an out because they got smoked.
Outside of Sean McDermott, I have an offensive coach. No, now because Bowles coaches Tom Brady. So that was a Bruce Arians offense and a Brady offense. So I feel like it's almost an offensive team. But I am literally best quarterback offensive coach is winning every division I've picked so far and most of my wild card picks.
Yeah.
Like my shock of the year is going to be the Vikings. They have a new offensive coach. I mean, that's my kind of like.
Do you think the Chargers make the playoffs this year?
I don't know. And that's my question. A defensive young coach. It's outside of McDermott, and I think I like Sean, but let's be honest. It's about Josh Allen. He's not winning anything if he's got, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick there. So that's kind of my question on all that. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
The other
news.
Thing is, usually, if you lose the Super Bowl, NFL history tells you, you go into a little bit of an abyss, like Atlanta, Seattle, you know, you trend down. I don't feel that with Cincinnati because Cleveland's a mess in their division. Pittsburgh doesn't have what they want. And Baltimore is like receiver deprived. And I think they're just going to, as this game changes between T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, their tight ends, I just think they're going to just outscore people. And I think you can win divisions now outscoring people.
Well, they also improved their offensive line.
Significantly. So I think Cincinnati's going to be the rare lost a Super Bowl, gets better. And it doesn't happen. We know half the teams that made the playoffs won't. We know that. We know 7-8 coaches will get fired, and the Super Bowl loser erodes. I think Cincinnati is a total outlier based largely on how the game is pivoting significantly to an offensive side. All right, Nick Wright, Dan Wojcicki, Bruce Pearl was fantastic as well today. So great to have him on the show. NBA draft tomorrow. Cannot wait for that. Chet Holmgren, somebody's getting them. Speak for yourself around the corner on a Wednesday. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.